You say the thing.
You say it.
You say it.
You say it.
You don't have to start.
But I already resolved myself that I...
Why?
That you said Is this a showdown?
Yeah, go. Do it.
Okay. No, I don't want to. Now I feel nervous. Now I can't do it. You do it. You say it.
Now out of principle, I'm not going to do it. Come on.
No, you say it. I'll say the second part. I feel like I'm better at that now. Like, I'm in that vibe.
And welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things.
I'm Naomi, and that's Macy, and we're just a couple of crazy counselors who like to talk about a variety of disturbing things, and this is our podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome. Well, hi, Macy.
Hi, how's it going? How was your week?
Well, it's been kind of crazy. I have a present for you.
You keep bringing me presents.
I know.
I need to bring you a present.
Close your eyes. Put out your hands, and you have to guess what it is without opening your eyes.
Do this. All right. Okay, I have to what?
Guess what it is without opening your eyes. What does it feel like?
A toy.
Okay, you can open
your eyes. Is it a bull?
Yes.
For Taurus. That's awesome. Thank you.
It's a congrats on finishing your PhD present.
Thank you. That was part of my like... thing today, this morning, I'm officially done, so.
I was buying dog food today at the country store, and I saw a rack of animals, and I decided to select that one for you, special, since we're both Tauruses.
And we have our Taurus party.
Yeah, I thought you could maybe put that on your desk, and it could remind you of how awesome and superior Tauruses are to every other zodiac sign.
I agree.
Which is a very Taurus thing to think.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we skated in Montana this weekend.
In Kalispell.
Yeah, I've got a lot of bruises, actually.
Yeah, so the game was great. You got MVP jammer this time. Last time you got MVP blocker. So
yeah. This
means now you're a serious all-around threat.
Yeah.
So that part was great of the trip, but then Sunday morning when I was coming home, my car died or was like on the verge of death, and so I was stranded there until yesterday, late in the day, and that was horrible.
I'm like being stranded in Kalispell, Montana.
I mean, it could have been way worse. I was really thinking of like, okay, plan B, plan C, like what if they can't fix it, what am I going to do, you know, am I going to have to rent a car and...
What was wrong
home
with it?
Somehow. Well, I had thought it was something with the transmission or driveline because it was like shuddering when you try to drive it.
Yeah.
When you'd hit the gas, it would like. Blah, 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 blah. But it actually turned out that one of the plug wires was arcing.
Oh.
So they replaced all the plugs and the wires, and that cost me like $600.
$600?
Yeah.
Ooh. I feel like you got ripped off.
Well, I mean, really, I had no choice.
Yeah, what are you going to do, point. Not go home?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sucked not having a car. Thank goodness for credit cards and Uber.
Yeah.
So I spent way too many hours at the Kalispell Mall because it was like 30 degrees out, and what are you going to do without a car?
There's nothing there.
Yeah, so when I got this skirt, there was a sale at JCPenney's.
Wow. Congrats.
I think I'll get a lot of mileage out of this because
it looks sassy.
Well, it's professional, you know, it's like knee-length pencil skirt, but it's like stretchy and cottony, so it's also comfortable.
Oh,
and then I got my nails done also there. I had a lot of time to kill.
Obviously.
And it was a very small mall.
Yeah.
You know, my boyfriend went with me and we're like, okay, let's walk really slowly. You know, let's really drag this out because we have hours to kill. And then we were like at the end of the mall, like, oh, we walked way too fast.
Yeah. Well, and then I had what I'll just say is a series of unfortunate events. I was going to go ahead and disclose about the last episode since we didn't do the makeup.
No, I wanted to talk about that too.
Okay.
Yeah. You can go ahead.
Do you want me to?
Go ahead. You start it. I'll chime in. I have a lot to say.
So we had an amazing episode last week with a special guest, Lisa.
Our first in-person special guest, yeah.
Who had an amazing story to tell, was a great person to have on the show. We had many interesting things happen on the show, which I'll let you speak about. And then it just disappeared, and I don't know more than that. It's gone forever, and I'm sorry.
So that was real episode 8. This is fake episode 8, replacement episode 8.
We have two ghost episodes now, so like...
Yeah, we had was that episode 4 that disappeared too?
It was episode 3.
But that was okay. I felt good about letting that one go. It wasn't that great, but this one I felt like was such a good episode.
I was so upset. I was like, I don't want to message Tart. She's going to be so mad at me.
And I had a really good topic.
I know.
Don't say what my topic is, though, because I'm going to bring it. I'm going to do it again in the future at some point. Okay. I'm going to wait until you kind of forget. So I get some fresh reactions out of you.
Like a week?
You know, I'm thinking 2-3 weeks, yeah. And then I'll bring it back.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, listeners. I fucked up.
It's okay. It's out there in the ether, and one day it could return, and then we will have our lost episodes, and it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
But that's why there's 2 weeks in between this one, because we're trying to record on Monday and post on Friday, but we didn't have anything to post last week, so...
And then we were gonna try to catch up, but then your car broke down, and then my dad's dog had to go to the WSU Veterinary and Teaching
Best
Hospital.
Best veterinary school, veterinary place in the entire world.
Which I can now agree with. They, like, the dog can't swallow. My dad, like, tried to wake him up, and he was cold, and, like, his eyes were rolled back, and...
That's so scary.
My dad went to go get, like, change his clothes to bury him in the yard, and then came out, and his, like, eye fluttered open, and he's like... He's still alive.
Walter was not giving up yet.
No, he's been consistently losing about 4 to 6 pounds a week.
Oh.
He is so so bad. So they have him now. They're giving him fluids and they're going to be putting a feeding tube in.
Aren't they amazing?
It's really amazing, yes.
My dog Lisa had a feeding tube for a little bit when she was... They stitched it to the side of her nose and freaking stapled it to the side of her face.
What? Horrible.
I was really surprised. I'm like, so that's the
standard
technique? That's like what you do? But I guess it is.
That sounds really, really horrible.
We also have a fancy new microphone thing, so hopefully we're coming in louder and clearer. It's
More crystally would be cool.
It kind of looks like, I don't know, like one of those old 80s robots from those movies, like, or BB-8 or something. It's really menacing looking, I think.
What's BB-8 from?
Star Wars. The little round droid.
I don't think his name is BB-8.
It is!
Is it?
Yeah.
R2-D2?
No. BB-8's like more recent than that.
Oh, okay.
R2-D2 was, from when I was a kid. The one that looks like a garbage can.
Okay.
And goes, doop, 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 doop.
Alright, I'm sorry I didn't catch the reference.
It's okay.
So, yeah. So that's... I didn't get home until past midnight last night. So I've just been... I've been running around everywhere. And now I'm here.
And this is the place to be.
Yes, I can actually breathe. I've got a little Taurus figurine. Life is good. Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever want to add to your animal collection, it's the country store that has, like, you know, pet food and, I don't know, like, garden implements.
North 40?
It's that place next to Costco that has the giant dog thing.
Oh, yeah.
They have good dog food there.
Cool. Good
by the by, if you're wanting some good dog food.
Good to know. Cool. Well, yeah. So, what do you got for us this week? I'm really interested. I'm curious. I've been, like, jonesing on the podcast. I needed it.
You know what? Last time... So we record in our counseling office, and just from the day one, Macy always sits in the captain's chair, and I've been sitting where clients typically sit, which is...
Sorry.
No, it's totally fine. It's comfy over here. But the way it's set up, there's the clock. I can't see it. It's above my head.
Yeah, I look at it all the time.
No, well, last time, I kept seeing you glancing at it when I'm doing my topic.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what? Am I taking too long? Are you not interested? And then I just felt horrified, like, if any of my clients ever saw me doing that, like, how horrible it would make them feel.
I'm worried about that, too. Yeah.
I try to, like, sneak a glance, like, when I see them looking down.
Yeah.
But it's not that I don't want to hear what they say. It's just, you know, we have to keep to a schedule.
Yeah. Do you remember what I told you last week or the week before when you called me out on it? And I was like, I don't do that with clients. Like, I'd wait till a moment when it was appropriate to look.
It was deeply painful for me to go through that.
Because I think I said something along the lines of, but I don't care how you feel.
You know, and then I felt like, well, should I start cutting things out? Am I, like, really going that long? But you know what? Just don't look at the clock.
We can do whatever we want.
And just settle in. Just settle in and enjoy. You have no work to do here.
I have an anxious personality. It is just a habit.
Just don't look at that clock. I might take it down.
That's going to really freak me out. I don't know about that. Oh, I wanted to give a shout out before I forget that we have our first international listener. Did you get to see that on the message I sent you?
I did see that.
Yeah, so he is actually from Birmingham, England. His online tag is Doomy. Hey, Doomy, thanks for listening.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
I love a UK accent.
Feel free to share.
Is that where the Beatles are from?
I don't know. You don't know.
No.
Sigh. No, it's not. Liverpool?
Oh, Liverpool.
Yeah, look at me pulling out facts.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm on top of my game.
So, that's funny because I just pictured my boyfriend like shouting at the podcast when he's listening to it, saying, no, it's Liverpool.
No, that's what my dad does too.
He said that's what he does. He says it makes him so angry that like when we don't know things and he's shouting at his phone listening to it. I'm like, we can't be expected to know everything. Just settle down.
On this ride to Pullman with my dad, sorry, random side note, he goes, Macy, every story that you tell of mine is completely wrong. And I was like, but I'm just going off my memory. And he said, okay, remember the story, and I'm not going to actually tell it, I'll save that for another time, about when he picked up Jesus in his truck. And I'm like, yeah, I remember that story. And he's like, tell it to me now, like you would on the podcast. Sure. So I told him, and he was like, wrong. So, yeah. But it's fun. I don't know.
Well, I think
my brain can only hold so much.
Kids have different memories of things. Because I know my kids...
I was an adult.
Oh. Well, my kids recount stories, and I'm like, that is not at all what happened. Like, you are wrong.
I just have a really bad memory. I just start mashing things together and hope for the best.
I think I have a really solid short-term memory, but something happens with my long-term memory. And it gets a little off. But my short-term memory is pretty good. At least I think so. All right, so... Are you ready?
So ready.
Settle down. Settle in.
Settle.
Buckle up.
Yep.
Okay, so my topic is timely because the first photograph of a black hole was just published last week. So my topic is CERN conspiracy theories. Do you know what CERN is?
No.
Okay, well, get ready to learn something.
Your glasses are creaking. Like on wood floor.
I just bought these at Rite Aid. I lost my other reading glasses that I had from Target, and so I just got these from Rite Aid. Okay. They are creaking.
Can you lean into the microphone here? And
I don't know why they're creaking. Okay.
Do it again. All right, sorry. Continue.
I feel like I have to take them on and off, though, because I want to focus on the words, but then I also want to focus on you, and I can't do both at the same time.
It's okay. You can focus on the words.
Okay, you're just going to be a blur, then.
I'll just be looking at the clock. You won't know.
Don't look at the clock. Makes me feel like I'm taking too long. Okay. So this is going to eventually talk about the conspiracy theories around CERN. But I'm going to start off talking about black holes. So do you like conspiracy theories?
What do you mean by like them?
Like, are you into them, interested in them at all?
I'm interested to hear about them. I do not personally partake.
But do you, like, look into them at all?
No.
Okay, some I get really into. I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but I think some are really interesting, and the ones that I like the most are those that have just enough truth or realism to them that it's like, there's a little bit of me that has a sliver of, wow, that could be true, or, you know, it's entertaining anyway. Okay. Okay. So some of my favorite conspiracy theories over the years were that Paul McCartney actually died a long time ago, and the Paul McCartney that we know is fake Paul. So the whole Paul is dead thing.
And if you think about it, just if we connect all of the dots here, you're also dating a Paul.
That's true. I don't see the connection, but yes, that's true. They're both named Paul. Good job, Macy. Another of my favorite conspiracy theories is that the Denver airport is either some kind of Nazi base or a portal to hell.
I've been there, and I think that's true.
Have you seen the weird stuff they have there? Like the horse with the glowing eyes outside and all the, like, sort of Nazi-ish artwork. And do you know if you look at it from above, it's in the shape of a swastika?
I did not know that.
There's lots more stuff, but that's just a few things. So it's things like that where it's just enough that just gets you thinking. Those are my favorites. Mm-hmm. All right. So do you want to learn about black holes?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell me more.
I'll start with first a couple misconceptions. So one misconception about black holes is that everything gets sucked into it. So no, it's not a vacuum. In case you were worried.
Okay. You cut down everything I thought I knew about a black hole.
And then another misconception, black holes are black because not even light can escape it. Another misconception. Common misconceptions. Mm-hmm. Do you like this wine?
Yeah, it's okay.
I only buy it because it's always on sale and it has a screw-off top and it's at the corner store over there.
Which we had to run to because I also forgot that my podcast duties to bring the alcohol.
I know, we're swapping that back and forth. It was your turn. All right. So black holes are created when a sufficiently large object like a star collapses into an infinitesimally small point called a singularity. All right, so that's the whole part, the singularity.
The single point that it hits.
That's like right in the very densest like the part vertex. In the center. So the gravitational pull of the singularity is so strong that it warps space and time. And so if you, Macy, were approaching a black hole, and I was watching you do that, I wouldn't actually see you, like, go in to the black hole. What I would see is you would start to slow down as you approached it, and then eventually, as you got right there at the edge, you would appear to freeze, and then eventually fade away. So
it's creepy.
Is that creepy? Because I'm using it as an example.
Yeah.
So you, that place where you'd fade away, that's the event horizon, so that's like the edge of it. And that's a place where time stands still and from which light can no longer escape. So in that photo that was just released, you can see the ring around it, and that's light from both in front of us and behind us at the same time that we're seeing.
What?
I know. So if you were like right next to it, you could see the back of your own head.
That's so trippy.
It's so trippy.
Well, that kind of goes with the whole like time is just a construct.
Relative.
Really. Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. Yes. But really, we only associate time because it's a point of reference.
Right. We experience it as linear. What did I say?
Linear,
but that's not necessarily the case.
Which is so many things in life.
I know. When I was little, I used to spend a lot of time in San Francisco with, like, my grandma and my great-aunt, and they didn't know what to do with me, so I was always at museums and shit. And so they would take me to these planetarium shows a lot.
Planetariums.
And they would terrify me. I would be scared.
Was it one of the ones where, like, the whole, like,
yeah.
All of it?
But it wasn't that scared me. It was just, I would always feel so small and like that everything was so vast and unpredictable and that basically I could be obliterated at any moment.
That's how I feel all the time. It's why I look at the clock all the time.
Your life is a planetarium show.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can totally relate.
Yeah.
Whew. So this stuff...
stressful.
I find it very interesting, but it's also terrifying. Like, the bigness of it is terrifying. And we get so caught up, like, in our little day-to-day lives, you know, with our Starbucks and our commutes, but, like, there's places where you can see the back of your head. I mean, it's so much bigger than us. Okay, so once you got into the black hole, when you crossed that event horizon,
I stepped across the threshold
and got in there, well, you'd be like floating
in that black hole.
So what would happen is your body would begin to stretch as it got closer to the singularity. Scientists call this spaghettification.
That's so technical.
So this process would eventually kill you. I mean, assuming you were still alive.
I can only stretch so far.
So you would eventually stretch into a long, thin
noodle
strip of plasma, the diameter of one atom, which, you know, that would be extremely painful. And
I probably wouldn't feel it for long.
You wouldn't survive that.
I don't know why I'd be feeling it anyways if I'm stepping in a black hole, but...
You'd be spaghettified.
Spaghettified.
So there's a thought among smart scientists out there that a spinning black hole, which is called a wormhole, might spit you out somewhere else in the universe. And I guess most of them are the spinning type, actually. So a black hole is not a thing, a place, or an event.
Are those called SpaghettiOs?
I hope so. So a black hole, you could think of it as a hole that's been punched out of space-time.
Wow.
I know, it's heavy. The blackness is what we see when all the occurrences that happened there are deleted. Crazy, huh? So the recent photographs, black center, actually proves Einstein's theory of general relativity, which explains that what we perceive as the force of gravity actually comes from the curvature of space-time. So it's kind of a big deal. I mean, that photo is really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to have it be the first time that a photo's ever been taken, I mean, you know they're constantly trying to do that. So that's a really big achievement.
It took a couple years.
Yeah.
And yeah, telescopes from all over the world. And they called themselves the Event Horizon Telescope Club or something. Probably not club, but something like
that's
that.
That's what ours would be named.
I know ours for that. The gang. EHTG.
SpaghettiOs gang.
Yes, SpaghettiOs gang. Alright, so that's your black hole portion of this topic. So what is CERN? So CERN stands for the European Council for Nuclear Research. In France, it's the Conseil Européen pour la Recherche Nucléaire.
Excuse me?
I mean, just French words, but that gives you the CERN acronym.
And I'm sorry, France, about the...
The Notre Dame?
Yeah, that's so sad.
I went to that before.
Me too. I have pictures from spring when I was in it.
But it looks like structurally it's sound, so yeah, hopefully they'll be able to rebuild it, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. All right.
No. Let's talk about things as they pop into your head.
Thank you for...
Please don't hold back.
I won't, now that time's off the table.
Time is off the table. It's all relative. Okay, so CERN is the largest particle physics lab in the world. It is located in Geneva, Switzerland. And this location was selected partly because of their neutral stance during World War II. So it's an international research center. And they state that they are doing science for peace and that they're never going to work for any military or anything like that.
So they tell us now.
And so all their
stuff...
That's
what they all say until they do.
And that all their work is supposed to be made generally available.
Okay. Open source.
Well, I mean, that's what they say on their website.
Must be true.
I'm not placing any judgments or questioning on it at this time. So what is CERN doing, you ask?
What is CERN doing, I ask?
CERN is attempting to answer questions such as, what is the nature of our universe? And what is our universe made of? they're trying to recreate the Big Bang. And they're trying to find a theory of everything, which can reconcile general relativity and then physics for really small things, smaller than an atom, quantum mechanics, and more. They're trying to just, yeah, a theory of everything. So CERN has a lot of super smart folks there. And that's where the World Wide Web was created in 1989.
Interesting.
Factoid. And it's also where what is known as the God particle was created and proved into existence in 2012. So CERN has a particle accelerator called the Large Hadron Collider, and it's 17 miles long. It's an oval underground. And this is where the scientists bring protons up to extremely high speeds, almost the speed of light, using superconducting magnets, and then they smash them together. So that's why it's called a collider. So they cause collisions, and then the sparks of the particles that are made are then studied. And then they can detect the tiniest bits of creation, such as what was called the God particle, which is actually the Higgs boson particle. And that is very important because it might tell us where everything came from.
Wow.
Everything, yeah. So it's creation / discovery filled in missing areas of theories that already were in existence called the Higgs field. And that's an invisible force that gives mass to elementary particles in the universe. And so without this field, nothing would exist as we know it at all. So that's why they call it the God particle.
So, yeah, okay. So without that, basically nothing could come together without mass.
Yeah, it's like everything. So that was a super big deal because the scientists had thought that it kind of should exist, but that they actually were able to create it and prove that it does exist. So they do some other really high-end physics stuff at CERN. They create antimatter. So this is particles with negative energy. And they study dark matter. So that's something that we can't see. That's giving galaxies the extra mass to stay together. And they study dark energy, which I just love the name of that. It just sounds so goth. Dark energy. Yeah, I know. I picture it in like Metallica font. Yeah. Or Anthrax font. Yeah.
Rancid maybe.
Yeah, so 75% of the universe is made of dark energy, but scientists don't even understand what it is.
Well, we
so
can't
that's
see it.
That's important. Yeah, so they it's some unknown force that's pulling the universe apart.
Keeps it from pulling together into a giant big bang.
So this is a lot of stuff that is outside everyday understanding. There was a quote I found on their website that I thought kind of pointed to how outside of our everyday understanding their work is. And it says, quote, "One theory suggests the existence of a hidden valley, a parallel world made of dark matter having very little in common with matter we know." So the idea of parallel worlds, parallel universes, other dimensions is super fascinating to me.
Stranger Things?
The Upside Down!
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so that's about CERN. I'm going to take a sip of wine. Sit back. All right, so that's like the sciencey part. I wanted to start there before we get into the non-sciencey part.
The fun part.
So that stuff's disturbing enough, but then, you know, you like can layer onto it. So one of the conspiracy theories about CERN is that its particle accelerator could create a black hole that will destroy Earth. So that's why I wanted to start off with, like, what is a black hole? So conspiracists say this is possible because the colliding nuclei's mass is concentrated to one point. And if that happened, then the universe could undergo catastrophic vacuum decay, with a bubble of the true vacuum expanding at the speed of light. This could happen at any time, and we wouldn't see it coming. Guess whose quote that is? Stephen Hawking.
I was going to go there.
Yeah, so he actually has this quote in a preface he wrote to a book called Starmus, where he mentions that the Higgs potential is worrisome. Because it can become unstable.
Because we're messing with things we don't understand.
Yeah, so, and that's that bit of truth that a good conspiracy theory has. Mm-hmm. If it's not anchored in any truth, it's not interesting to me at all. So there has to be enough to kind of make you stop and go, what if? That could be, some possibilities.
Yeah.
So... a second conspiracy is that conspiracy theory is that the work at CERN has already changed our reality and put us in a parallel dimension or universe. And they point to the Mandela effect as proof that this has already happened. Do you feel like your time path shifted at any point in the last few years?
Time path.
Like your reality, your universe, and then now you're kind of shifted over into a different parallel dimension or universe or reality.
Does that happen at 30?
Well, I don't know if it's going to happen. That's probably the age that it would. 40 is also another time that happens.
I have no idea.
Okay, well, think on that.
I feel like everything is just in fast forward all the time.
I mean, I know my reality changed when I woke up on my 40th birthday. I just had way less fucks to give on that day. And just my fucks have decreased since then.
I remember when you turned
40.
40.
Yeah.
Because that was when you were very emotionally distraught.
Well, no, I thought, leading up to it,
you thought it was going
to
be way worse.
I thought I was going to be super depressed. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have to, walk out in the woods and be alone with my journal and,
I remember you telling me that, I'm just going to go wander in
tea.
The woods.
Yeah, but then I woke up and I'm like, oh.
It's like every other day.
I don't give a fuck. I'll do what I want. And no one's going to tell me shit. Yeah, that was basically waking up on 40, so that was pretty great, and I really haven't gone back. Okay, so this is fun, and I'm going to make you watch a video here in a minute and give me some reactions. So another conspiracy theory, don't make that face at me, is that CERN is opening the gates to hell. So about three years ago, the Goddard Tunnel, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, it's the longest railway and deepest traffic tunnel that's ever been made to date, and it goes under the Alps, and it's located sort of near CERN. So people connect the two, and what was really weird is there was a crazy opening ceremony to this tunnel that was supposed, it had government officials and it was televised, and but it was the weirdest goddamn thing, I swear to God. So I'm going to have you watch some highlights here in a second. But after I watched it, even for being European, I thought it was really bizarre. And really my only conclusion was, yes, I am watching an open ceremony to the gates of hell. There's no other logical conclusion. So I found a really short highlight video on YouTube. That just has, because it was a long thing, and I did watch the whole thing at one time, because I just wanted to see that a couple years ago. So I know that this is from it, because I did watch the whole thing. So I would like you to just comment on what you're seeing, and maybe some thoughts and emotions.
So, okay.
Okay.
Just ongoing commentary? Why not?
A reaction radio. Okay. And I turned the volume down. Because there was weird music that goes to it, too.
All right. There's now... is that a woman? There is...
topless.
Topless man or woman. I can't tell, but there are...
there's breasts.
Okay.
So
in a giant mask...
whatever that means.
A man with horns is obnoxiously raising his groin to the crowd. And goat men...
and you know the significance
prancing about.
of, like, Baphomet, right? The symbol of satanic worship.
Holding horns and a baby goat fetus.
Which could symbolize some kind of sacrificial action.
Mm-hmm. Lots of sticks and horns carrying around on, like, some women with white, which, like, I know, like, virgins, sacrificing virgins wearing all white. I'm into it now. This lady's in a tiki hut.
Just keep walking. In mind, this is a, like, fully government kind of thing happening here. Like, oh.
There's, like, little taxi cabs running around now with men in top hats waving at the crowd.
Yeah, who is one of them, though? Look.
Oh, the Pope?
Yeah, why is the Pope in this?
The Pope and nuns? Like, I don't understand. This chick is getting a fake head that looks like her same head, but bigger, onto her head. And is being carried around by miscellaneous people. And now there's people on a train talking. Why are they talking?
I think those are some of the government officials. I don't know why those are in there. That was weird.
Oh, that was, oh, I can't remember her name. What are they? Is this still part of it?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're, like, fake rock climbing?
Because there was an indoor and outdoor portion of this ceremony.
Okay, so they're being pulled up these, like, rocks. But, oh, now there's, oh, they're, like, dirty dancing in dirt and underwear. This is really bizarre.
Right?
You're going to post this for everybody, right?
Yes,
so they can
yes.
see whatever the world hell has you made me watch right now.
Yes, I know.
They're all, like, flexing their chesticles everywhere.
This is an opening ceremony to a tunnel.
Why?
Yeah, you tell me.
And then there's, like, three floating women with white robes and, like, a blue circle that looks like an eye. It's like the Eye of Saruman. More goats. Men screaming under sheets. Beetles being hung in front of a man's face on a giant screen. What? With, like, a goat head. Like, what is this?
I told you.
Wow, that's... Okay, so that was it.
Was not that the whole that, thing?
Yeah, not that that wasn't enough.
Yeah, so what were your thoughts and feelings going on with that, while you experienced that?
Just sheer confusion and...
Could it be the opening ceremony to the gates of hell? I mean, if that were a thing, can't you see that that would be the ceremony you would plan?
Was Trump there?
I don't think so.
Oh.
No, I don't think he was invited.
Then no.
Or maybe he'd be in the tunnel.
He's already waiting.
Yeah, he's already down in there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's conspiracy theories about CERN, black holes, and more. I'll call that topic.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. I learned a lot.
I know.
I've
learned a lot with this podcast.
My topic we both know a lot about.
Oh my God, what?
First, it's not... Don't get too excited.
Oh.
Share your experience as a counselor working with teens. Kids. Youth.
Teens or like younger kids?
Teens. Start there.
Teens?
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
They're my favorite, too.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, so...
More than that? More than just my, like, love for them?
Yes. Like, what have you, like, experienced?
I just think it's a really cool point in life because they're just sort of figuring out their identity and becoming their own people, and it's beautiful. And I like how, like, it's all new. Like, every day is a new life, basically.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the whole world revolves around them constantly.
Yeah, like, every day is a new day. And, you know, the world, everything mm-hmm. begins and ends in a day, you know.
Yeah.
I love that. It's really cool.
Okay, so now teens and social media.
Ooh.
Welcome to my topic.
I think it can be good and bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, I think it depends on how they feel after whatever it is. Like, if they're being exposed to a bunch of negativity
mm-hmm.
or online, like, bullying, like, that sucks.
So, some context. I'm a child mental health specialist, so is Naomi.
Yeah. CMHS.
Yeah.
Yo.
We have both worked inside of schools.
We both worked inside of the same school at different times.
Yes, we did.
High school.
Mm-hmm. High school. So we have quite a bit of experience working with adolescents, and social media comes up and it's becoming ever more prominent. So I chose to look at this a little more deeply.
Deeply and disturbingly?
Yes. So did you know that now fully 95% of teens have access to a smartphone? 95%. Not that startling.
I believe that.
Yeah. And 45% say they're online, quote, almost constantly.
Oh, I totally believe that.
100% believe that, too. Me, too. What would you say the most commonly used, like, platforms are right now for teens?
Well, I'm kind of out of the loop with it. So, I'm not sure. Snapchat? Instagram?
So, close. So, Snapchat's third. 69%. Instagram was 72%.
What's the other one?
YouTube was top.
Oh, do they communicate on there, though, with each other?
They do, because they post videos, they subscribe, like, it's,
That's interesting. It doesn't seem as interactive.
Online platforms that are used the most. Facebook is fourth.
So being used, dropped. That makes sense.
Being used, yeah.
Yeah, my kids are always on YouTube, as am I.
Twitter's below Facebook.
TBH.
And then Tumblr.
See what it is there?
TBH. Yeah. To be fair,
Tumblr's still a thing?
Well, not like 9%. Like, not much of a thing.
Oh, it's down there.
Yeah.
And then there's some like obscure ones out there that I sometimes hear about.
There are obscure ones, yeah.
Like, what's that one where you can post anonymously about people and it's really damaging because you can say anything horrible about anybody and nobody
what
knows
what was that one? That was. Because that was actually a thing when I was working at the school.
It's still a thing.
Yeah, because they posted, you can post, actually no, the thing I'm thinking of was when Facebook started doing polling. They didn't have any, like, structure around it, so you could do it and, like, post a poll, and when you, like, responded, it wouldn't have who responded with what. So people would create pages and have, like, who hates so-and-so student, and then people would just go and poll a yes or no. Mm. And so that became a really bad thing.
So whatever this thing is you can post comments anonymously. I think it might be tied somehow to Snapchat, but I don't think it's part of Snapchat, but I think it pulls maybe somebody's...
Maybe you can see what you can
snapped,
find.
And then, like, yeah, you can comment anonymously, and it's terribly... Horrible. Damaging, because people will say it.
Anything.
Yeah, anything. Truly anything.
So they asked teenagers to describe the effect. So this is what you're saying, like how it impacts them. So 31% said it was positive. 24% said it was mostly negative. And then about 45% said neither positive or negative. It's just there.
Meh.
Meh is a common adolescent word. So really, one of those things is Facebook is no longer the dominant online platform for youth.
Yeah,
I mean, faded away.
It's faded away in my heart a long time ago.
Me too. I'm angry at it all the time.
I don't really... I mean, we have like our roller derby group on there, and then I have business stuff.
Reason,
but other than that, I'm really not on there. Sometimes I'll do a, like... rudimentary, like, one scroll and see what comes up.
Yeah, I'm like, people's food, cat, ad, politics, done.
Yeah,
over that
could be. No, it's not, I don't know.
It's not that.
I just feel like it's a have to and not a want to. I just do it for, like, business reasons, really.
Yeah.
And I'll post something now and then just so people know I'm alive.
Yeah, I post, like, a big thing, like the PhD thing or derby pictures. That's really it.
Yeah.
So another thing was that lower income teens are more likely than teens from higher income households to use Facebook. Which is
what
interesting.
That's about.
Yeah. So like those who household income was less than 30,000, 70% of them use Facebook.
What do you think that's about?
Compared to 56% between 30,000 and 74,000, and then only 36% between 75,000 and more.
Why do you think that is? I don't understand that.
I don't know. Like, there's no...
Because there's no cost to the other platforms.
Yeah, no, they're all free. So, I wonder if it's almost kind of a... if there's some kind of tied in social status even.
Hmm.
Because really social media platforms rely on connection to your peers, and if you're not connected to your peers, you need a wider platform with a bigger net.
Interesting.
Oh, that's just...
No, I like that.
No. So, girls are more
likely... I like when you go first, because then I can just sit back and drink wine.
I didn't go first.
No, I loved when I go first.
Oh,
did I say you?
Yeah.
I meant me.
That's cool. All right, drink your wine.
I've been drinking wine, so...
You've drank wine the whole time. I don't know the
difference between you and me.
The whole time. They're but really... You know. Can you see the back of my head right now?
No, but I wish I could. I wish I could see the back of my own head.
I can. All right. Girls are more likely than boys to say that Snapchat is the site they use the most. 42% compared to 29%. Makes sense. Snapping pictures, selfies, all the time. While boys are more inclined than girls to identify YouTube. Makes sense. 39% compared to
25%. Yeah, just when I left my house, my kid was on the YouTube.
On the tubes. Additionally, white teens, 41% are more likely than Hispanic, 29%, or black, 23% teens to say that Snapchat is their platform they use the most.
Mm.
While black teens are more likely than white teens to identify Facebook as their most used site.
Interesting.
Which, again, if you think about 26% compared to 7%, if we talk about socioeconomic status tied in, because that other one where it's talking about income level.
Right.
Like, it's really interesting. I wonder what's behind that.
I wish I could not be on Facebook. I just don't... I haven't figured out...
It's hard to pull away.
I haven't figured out how to do that.
I can't, because derby practices are posted on
there. Yeah, we have our team group page on there where we post all the pertinent intel.
Can you just, like, at the end of the podcast say it, and then I won't have to, like, worry about the schedule?
Oh.
Practice so schedule?
Our team will just have to tune in to the podcast every week to find out what's
perfect.
Going on. Perfect!
We get new viewers. So,
oh, we have 20 followers on Podbean. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, thanks everyone. You're the best.
I love all of you.
We love you
each
guys
and every
so
one
much.
Of you 20 followers.
Next time we'll have someone on and I won't delete it because I care about you guys. So some of the reasons why teens reported that it was a mostly positive experience.
I like how you looked at that like they're in there.
It's big enough where like I actually envisioned.
They're all standing inside the microphone.
Yes.
I think we need to take a picture of that later with some kind of size reference next to it so people see how big it is. Well, they don't know how big that is. Your bowl. How about like this pen or something? Or a quarter or something that
okay.
I don't know.
We will, it'll be the picture.
Something international now that we have an international listener.
Okay, well you think about
that. So probably
that.
Not a quarter because they don't have quarters there. They have... pounds.
And that size difference is really going to throw them?
Yeah, I think it might. I want them to accurately understand how a massive...
Do you know what a quarter is? Let us know.
I think a pen. That's a universal. I'll put that there.
Thanks. Okay, so positives. Connecting with friends and family. Easier to find news and info. Meeting others with the same interests. Keeps you entertained. Self-expression, getting support from others, learning new things. Those were in order by how importance, by the way.
And it's learning, really the equivalent of hanging out your friends.
And exactly.
Like, in person is the equivalent of that.
But learning new things is literally at the bottom of the list. Which, like, if you think about, like, my dad tells me, like, I had to go to a library to get information to write my papers.
Oh my god, I used to go to the library too.
So there's just, like, plethora of information out there, and they, like, deem that as, like, they're just so blasé about access to information.
Well, I can't imagine a teen being like, I love social media so I can learn new things.
I love social media, so I can learn new
things.
Well,
I love it for that reason, too, that's but...
why
know,
we have the podcast about learning new things. So the negatives from most negative to least negative were, number one, bullying and rumor spreading.
Yes, the bullying is terrible.
Harmful relationships... they said harms relationships, lack of in-person contact. I can see that.
Yes. And since so much communication is lost, you know, with no tone of voice and facial expressions, there's so much miscommunication and drama that comes.
Well, because you can't tell a tone of voice. You can't.
Yeah.
So you instantly assume the worst because you're
self-conscious.
There's
little nuances
that
are totally missed.
And I know you know this because in the teenage world, everything is assumed to be an attack. everything. Initially, like, they don't go, oh, I assume the best. They go, oh, she tried to...
I mean, I'm still that way. Brutal. Like, if I'm texting my boyfriend and, like, I get a few kind of short texts back, I'm instantly like, are you mad at me? It's like, no, I'm, you know, and I don't know what's going on in his end. No, I'm in the middle of standing on a ladder and I'm, like, at work. And
yeah, you do the, like... But, oh, that's what you're doing. Uh-huh.
But I totally take it personally. Like, he's totally mad when he just comes back with two-word answers.
Well, there's, like, this... Maybe, like, this underlying fear of the unknown. Because there's so much about what somebody does or could be saying that we don't know with a computer screen in the way or a phone screen. What are their real feelings about it? What might they be saying to someone else but not to me? Did they mean what they say, but, you know, didn't? Like, it's just, it gets really muddy.
You really have no idea what's going on.
And so it really hits on that underlying fear of not belonging. And as human beings, we want to belong. And that's what social media, you would think, is connection. Which some find value in that. I'd be curious to find out which ones find value.
It's connection, but it's such a weird connection because it's not it's connection physically through disconnection. In the same. Yes. Ooh, I like that. Connection through disconnection. Mm-hmm. It's safer. It's easier. And for teens, I can
convenient.
See... For teens, I can see that would be super appealing because you don't have to deal with all the awkward and comfortable stuff. But it's that stuff that makes you grow.
Well, and if you
all
think
that
about...
All that horrible stuff.
So people who are ostracized, too, may find kind of solace in, like, the internet because they can find friends and community and connection with people who may not give them the time of day in real life or that they could never access. You know, there may be a few, like, oddball kids in their school that are kind of separated by class, whatever. And but online, you could go into a chat... Sorry, dating myself. Chat room.
Oh, my God.
I know. I apologize. Only adults use chat rooms. I know they exist. I know they exist. But teens don't use them.
I've never been in a chat room.
I have many times.
I think you have to be invited. Nobody's invited.
You don't have to be invited. You just have to be cool enough to be allowed to stay.
I'm not cool enough.
So, yeah.
I do encourage my teen clients, if there is something that's a big issue, to talk about it face-to-face. I do encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they get that concept, but they still will often take the easier way out. And mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to admit that I've taken that easier way out, too.
It's an easy way out.
It's way easier.
It's scary to go up to some... You're becoming vulnerable, and that's what we try to avoid. And I think, like, especially as adolescents, it has gotten so cutthroat. Like, I would hear people at the high school, and I'm like, whoa, you guys aren't just mean. Not everybody, but the ones who are. They're not just mean, they are cruel.
It's cruel.
Like, I had one teen who, like, the freshmen were walking through, and she just, up top, just spit on him from up above. And like, when she got in trouble for it and came in, her response was, well, I just thought it was funny. And later I talked to the person who got spit on, and it crushed her, because, like, this isn't going to be her new school, and these are the girls that she looked up to.
It's the mean girl syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, I should talk about that sometime.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I was bullied, and I was a bully. So I've been on both sides of that.
I was bullied, you big bully.
And I have to say, being the bully feels way better than being bullied.
I got bullied all the time. Me and my friend Evelyn, who, by the way, is a very successful, like, tech in San Francisco. So screw you guys who made fun of all of us. I have my PhD. Anyways, so...
Yeah,
we're flipping off the podcast microphone.
I feel like we need to name this. It's kind of taken on its own personality. We're sort of like hanging out with this giant microphone head thing.
It kind of looks like a head.
It does. It definitely looks...
Sorry, everyone. We're really adjusting to this
droid-ish.
this new item in our
No, it's room. Big. It's menacing.
It has a red light on it.
It has a red light. I know. It's like kind of like... A Darth droid?
Is this Darth?
Yeah. Yeah, so I was bullied.
Yeah.
And I was a bully.
They used to... So the bus had to do this extra loop to pick me up. Not, like, more than 2 minutes of time. And I already had to walk up a 1,000-foot driveway. Not an exaggeration. It was long. And they would sit and chant, is Macy on the bus? Chanting, full chant. is Macy on the bus? And then I'd raise my hand, because that's what you do when you've been walked on. I raise my hand, and then they would just berate me. Drop her off here. She doesn't need to go to her house. And
they'd like,
all the time, there was a boy who sat next to me, and he's like, I think you're so cute. And I was like blushing, because this was like the popular kid. I was sitting on the bus. Most of my trauma happened on the bus. And then I was like, really? And then the back of the bus started cracking up laughing. And he's like, no. Nope.
Oh my
and
God, it's like the movie Carrie.
I know, they're lucky I didn't like rip them all
drop, like,
to shreds.
Lamb's blood or whatever on your head at prom.
Yeah. So those were just like the mild ones. But yeah. So anyways.
I'd like to think that sucks. Maybe a lot of bullies, like me, were bullied and they're just reacting to that. I mean, not that it's an excuse, but maybe if you're a kid, you can still have an excuse, but...
You're saying Evelyn...
You have to grow out of it.
Evelyn and I went and took shaving cream cans and we froze them and we put them all over one of the bullies' yards so they would explode because we're rebels.
okay. I'm not a bully anymore.
So one
I grew out of that. I just want to make that clear.
I know you're not a bully.
I might be a bully sometimes silently in my head, but yeah. I don't act on it.
Yeah.
I've developed self-control.
I think there's, like, personality things. Like, I can be pretty judgy. I am an INTFJ.
What the fuck is that?
INTJ. What's Myers-Briggs that? Personality test.
Oh, God, I forgot
INTJ.
About all that shit.
INTJ, yeah.
Is that the judgy one?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. All right. So one girl said, I think social media can have a positive effect because it lets you talk to family members far away. Reasonable. Fair.
Yes. That could be a positive thing for sure.
Yeah. This one says, my mom had to get a ride to the library to get what I have in my hand all the time. She reminds me of that a lot.
You know, if I'm going to go to the library, it's probably not to do research. It's just to, like, hang out and read magazines.
I used to love the library. I'd bring home books all the time. I was a book nerd, and I'm a book nerd now.
I love the library, too. I was obsessed with the Dewey Decimal System. I knew a card catalog like nobody's business, but that doesn't even exist anymore.
Sad. It does. We should go to a library sometime.
When my kids were little, because I homeschooled my kids, we used to go to the library, and I would pick out a book, and we'd have a contest. They'd have to find it.
Oh,
the fastest to, like, be able to, you know, alphabetize and numerical size. I just made that word up.
What word did you
mean? Numerical size, like alphabetize.
Oh, that's one word.
Yeah. Okay. No, I made it one word.
Yeah, you just tried to pour wine with a lid on.
Yeah.
Stop it. You pour your own wine. Okay. So on the negative side, there's like two pages here of like examples.
I want to hear it.
So these ones, though, this boy, 15, says people can say whatever they
want.
I'm
not clock watching.
People can say whatever they want with anonymity, and I think that has a negative impact.
Yes, there's no consequences.
I got to give kudos to this 15-year-old who used the word anonymity.
That's a good word.
Pretty
and
impressive.
I give kudos to you for pronouncing it correctly.
Thanks.
Welcome.
This girl, age 15, says it provides a fake image of someone's life. It sometimes makes me feel that their life is perfect when it's not.
Yes. And that's that whole, like, FOMO thing, right? Where people are just cropping out the shitty parts of their lives.
Yeah.
And so you feel like your life sucks when it's just a misrepresentation of reality.
Mm-hmm. 15% of these kids felt that social media distorts reality.
For sure. I mean, I remember watching those a CNN thing quite a ways back where they're interviewing teens about social media. It was a long time ago, but they're saying like that they take 500 photos and then pick one to post. Like there's that level of
I probably take like 6 to 7 photos.
No, I do for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I want to approve it too. Like, oh, let me look at that first.
Oh, yeah, on Facebook, I have that setting.
Okay,
like,
that one's okay.
I get to screen it first. I have pictures sitting in my, like, you've been tagged that I won't let tag me because I'm like, I don't know what my face is doing. Sometimes some derby pictures, like, I stick my tongue out a lot.
Or you have weird, like, skin, like, from the impact of the hits where your like, skin looks all wiggly.
Wiggly skin.
Wiggly skin, yeah. It's not super attractive, like, if it's just captured in that moment.
No. Yeah, it's really hard to pull off a good derby picture. I remember way back, Crazy Train told me that, like, when I was first learning how to skate, she's like, it's not about the skill, it's about looking good in the photos. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I look bad in all the photos.
No, I used to always, when I see the derby photos, think, okay, next time I'm going to hold my stomach in and not have a weird face. But once the game starts, you're not thinking of, like, you shouldn't at least be thinking about that.
No, I was thinking about, like, how many times I kicked myself in the same exact spot on my ass. And then the giant, like, fist-sized bruise now. Somehow during practice, I got hit in the, like, this whole region that has a giant bruise. Ash did that. I'm not, yeah.
Well, Ash is freaking brutal.
She hurts me in in the warm-up every game.
I don't think she even tries. She's just a machine. She's
brutal. No, last time it was Ginger.
Oh, yeah, she's brutal, too.
Yeah, no, and I told Ash. We have a lot of brutal girls on our team. Don't do what she did to me again. Be nice.
It's effortless, too.
It is.
All right. Brutal beauty.
Brutal beauty. So, okay. So, pros and cons of teens on social media.
Pros and cons.
Positive effects of social media on the lives of teenagers. Number one, they become more informed about current affairs. True. I would say true. What would you say?
I think they are aware of what's going on because sometimes I'll mention something to my kid that I just, my younger kid, 16-year-old, that I just heard of, and they'll be like, oh yeah, I heard about that. So I think that's true. I don't know if they read beyond the headlines, though.
I have to tell you, just in relationships in general, this is a frustrating one for me because I like to feel like I'm, like, the savvy one on some content. So I'll be like, have you heard about da-da-da? And they do that, like, yeah. And they don't want to talk about it because they're already, like, have been immersed. And, like, I want to have a conversation. I want to have a dialogue. I want to show how angry I am about whatever I just read.
Well,
and I get shut down.
When we were driving back from Montana, you know, you have, like, random road trip convo to pass the time. And at some point, Paul brought up the topic of that fucking tunnel that was part of my topic. And it pissed me off so bad. I'm like, no, this conversation ends now. We cannot talk about this.
What did he bring up?
He just brought it up. Well, I didn't want to talk about it because this was my podcast.
Oh, and you didn't want to, like...
I'm like, you're just going to have to listen to the podcast. Like, we are not discussing this.
I say that to people, too. I'm like, and then I end up telling them what it was about anyways.
No, I keep it all under lock and key.
I'm so bad. So, okay.
You are.
Number two, it's easier to study and carry out research work. We already kind of hit on that.
That is a plus for me. I can look up a fact in a second. Like, I know, you're writing a research paper and, like, bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam. Got it. Boost self-esteem. Social media provides a place where teens can freely express themselves.
I don't know if it boosts my self-esteem. Does it boost your self-esteem?
No. I gotta say, though, it's nice, like... But, like, you count things, which is weird. Because, like, you would think, like, human interaction, like, when you talk to me, I would feel good by something you say or do,
I would
right?
hope.
Right?
Are you feeling good right now?
Yes.
Okay.
But, like, if I post something, I'll notice myself look at the number of people that
like it or comment.
Yeah, like 30. Oh, that's a good number. Like, what does that even, like...
What does,
like,
that even mean?
Right?
Right.
But that's
it's a measure of self-worth.
Yeah, like, how many people took the time...
An artificial measure of self-worth.
And I will
it's
be
fucking
the...
bullshit.
I will be the first one to ignore anybody that posts, please click on this, because if you don't, it means you don't care about me. I will not click on it. I refuse to. But I look for it, too. I'm just not as brave as you. But I look for it.
What about the ones that are, like... like... the modern version of an old like chain letter where
I get those in
like
my
pass this on to five people. I never did.
I have like family members that send, like distant relatives that send it, and I want to be like, what are you doing? Stop it.
Like, do you not have anything else to live for? Is this what it's come to?
Ugh. But like, people really believe and like buy into those things. Like, oh, you need to change your Facebook password because this and this has happened. It's like, really, like, it's coming through to you right now to tell me that's how I get notified.
Well, I hate it when something happens in the world and then suddenly everybody's like, oh, changing their profile pic or posting, like, R.I.P. David Bowie. Like, come on. Like, do we all have to do that?
To me, like, if it impacts my, like, so the only reason, like, for example, the cathedral.
Yeah, I saw you posted that.
I posted that.
But you just went to fucking Europe.
I went to Europe.
So it's relevant.
And I remember, like being there and, like, really being awestruck by, like, how beautiful it was inside. And that's what, so it impacted me because I even had a conversation with my dad about how beautiful the artwork was inside. And, like, I said, like, everything is art. It's not just the art on the walls. Like, the building is art.
The gargoyles are,
yeah,
super cool.
And I know a lot of people go there. So to me, like, people who connect with something, it totally makes sense, yeah, for them to share and process that. Yeah. It's a processing, but everybody wants to be a part of
something. But I think some people are just bandwagoners.
Yeah. Okay. So it can assist in getting jobs.
Hmm.
True. Yeah.
Like LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Or like an Indeed search or something?
Yeah. It allows them to also find jobs for them to, like, search and find things quicker.
That's true.
It can help teens with disabilities interact at the same level with others.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah. And I think that's underlooked quite a bit.
I actually noticed that shift when texting started, mm-hmm, because I've had a lot of deaf people in my community my whole life, mm-hmm, and it was always a struggle. And then as soon as texting came about, suddenly they're a part of the circle.
Exactly.
And it was super cool to see.
They actually belong, and they realize they're not so different. You know, like, there's a shared, yeah, commonality, and all of a sudden everybody's thoughts are on the same wavelength. So,
yeah, it's super cool.
Social media helps teens get up to date with current technology, so they're able to stay advanced. okay, so those are the positives. The negatives, teens are exposed to cyberbullying, number one.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's bad. It is really bad.
I wonder if we would have had that if I would have been a cyberbully.
I think you probably would have been at one phase in your life. We're going to come back to that here in a minute. So,
me or just in general?
No, cyberbullying. Okay. No,
so I'm not ready
for
that.
I'm not going to. This isn't an intervention. I'm not calling you.
Thank God.
Isolation.
All of a sudden, all the people I bullied have come in the door.
So, you know how we just talked about better access for kids with disabilities, right?
Yeah.
There is also isolation. Number two, isolation of kids with disabilities. Teens with disabilities can become a target of prejudice by their fellow teens. This can make them feel isolated and very lonely. So, it is a good communication platform to become an equal, but if they become targeted,
mm-hmm,
if somebody ostracizes them, they can get victimized quickly. Because where, if you think in public, like at a school, there's going to be teachers around, especially if somebody is disabled.
Because nobody's supervising it.
Yeah, there's nobody supervising, and kids, again, can be cruel. And then, number three is decrease in productivity levels. So, yeah, they multitasking it. So you used to put on resumes all the time. I'm a great multitasker. Now you should put on a resume. I can do one thing at a time.
I'm
well,
a great focuser.
Yeah, I can do one thing at once.
Well, millennials were like big activists in bringing your device to work. Like having that be a
multitask.
Thing.
I'm a multitasker, and like I know it impacts my performance, but it's almost hard for me not to do multiple things at a time.
Yeah, my attention span is shot.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. So yeah, that impacts kids absolutely. And then it destroys social skills. So due to the increase in time spent in the virtual world, they reduce their face to face social interaction skills.
Yeah,
increasing anxiety, avoidance.
Yeah, and you know, I just did that yesterday.
Like, do tell.
So, those front two offices here, mm-hmm, are rented by this incredible acupuncturist lady, and she went out of town, and she texted me and gave me one fucking job, which was to water the plants while she was gone.
Oh my gosh, you're horrible with plants. Who would do that?
No, and that's my worst nightmare. And so I got super anxious, but I was like, okay, I can do this. I can fucking water those plants. I can do it. And she's even sent her text, I made it easy for you. I left out a pitcher of water so you won't forget.
Just so you know, I wouldn't have trusted her to water my plants.
So I'm like, I texted back, oh yeah, for sure, yeah, have a good trip, whatever. I'll totally take care of that. And I had every intention of doing it. And then... like the first few days after she left. No, I was like, I'm gonna do this. And the first few days after she left, I saw the picture she left out. It was like a bright orange picture. She couldn't make it any more fucking obvious or easier for me. And I thought, no, not today. Like, it's too soon. I'll do it when I come back. And I did that for like 3 days in a row.
And then your car broke down.
And then I'm like, I'm gonna do it. Yeah, and then we ended up going out of town, and I totally forgot. And then yesterday, when I came back into town, and
is her plant dead?
And I drove by her, and I saw her car, and I instantly remembered. I'm like, oh,
so
fuck.
She saw it before you could even.
Yeah,
remember
I'm
it?
Like, oh fuck, I forgot the plants. I'm the worst human being on earth. And so I went home, and I'm like talking to my kid. I'm like, oh god, I need to go over there. Because her car was so hurt, I'm like, I need to go over there. I need to put my big girl panties on and just be like, I'm
you
a horrible
so
person.
Big girl panties.
I'm so sorry. I fucked up. Like, you gave me one job and I fucked it up. And so I like probably paced around in my house for like 20 minutes about it. And then I'm like, okay. And I came over here and then she was gone, of course, which probably was like, I probably knew that. Like, she'd be gone. And so then I just texted her. It was like, oh, I'm so sorry. But it was totally easier to text her. I mean, I was really going to do the face-to-face.
And how much anxiety did that cause you that whole time?
But I was going to do the face-to-face. But when I realized she was gone and I could just fall back on the text apology, mm-hmm. like, I instantly felt better. And I sent the text. I pressed send. And then I flipped my phone over.
I know. It's
like, I didn't want to see what was coming back in case it was super aggro.
When I had to tell you that the podcast disappeared, I was like, I had that sitting in my box.
Yes,
like I didn't,
exactly, right?
I didn't press send for like 5 minutes. And I'm like, dude, I have to tell her. Like, I can't.
No, right?
There's no way she's expecting it to be posted tonight. I can't. Yeah.
So when we leave, you'll see that plant over there, that beautiful, like...
Is it still alive?
It's yellow, but it's alive.
Oh my
God. I felt so bad when I came into work yesterday. Like, I felt like the worst human being ever.
Yeah, I totally looked at the clock for myself, so that was just...
Yeah, I saw that.
It was pure habit.
I'm going to take it down and smash it.
Well, it's because I know how many I have to... that I want to get through, that's all. So... Okay.
Are you not enjoying my sidebar? I'm sorry.
No, I love it.
Okay. Good.
I'm glad that you feel better now that you processed that.
No, I feel like good that I explained it on
okay,
a public
good.
International platform.
It's
cleansing.
Okay, so your social skills are destroyed. Leading to disclosing too much information? Absolutely.
Ooh.
That's a big one. Like,
ooh, drunk
not just
testing
teens.
Is bad.
And not just teens, everybody discloses too much on social media.
Impersonal.
Yeah, and you can kind of like, you can have a persona that exists online.
Oh, right.
That doesn't necessarily exist in real life.
Ooh, yeah. I notice people will say things over text that they never say in real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
like little catchphrases or words, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, by giving out too much information, for example, like about where one lives, where they go to school, can put teens at risk
for having people
track them.
Yeah,
so,
there's serious predators out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ever give your real address, phone number, location, school, etc.
Keep your privacy settings on the highest level. Like, and so, Tart and I went on, sorry, Naomi, Tart.
I'm
same
both.
Thing. She's both.
I'm Neo Tart.
Neo. Neo Tart.
Tarto me.
Tart. That's so much better. Tarto me.
Do you know that my name, spelled backwards, is Imon?
I like Tarto me. So Tarto me and I went to a training once about teenagers and social media. About how they can access like any webpage from throughout.
Oh my god, that was the best training. I remember that one. Yes.
Yes.
That was shocking.
Can I explain it to people who don't know?
They weren't there, so yeah, you probably
I'll explain it to you, robot microphone. So there is a website.
DarthPod.
DarthPod that you can actually access where you can view any date and time of any webpage ever. So it's a static webpage, so links and stuff won't work, but it gives you the exact view of the webpage at that certain time. So you could go back and view my webpage from like 2011.
Yeah, it like captures it in time.
Unlike my MySpace page that is gone now.
Even if you delete stuff, they're captured forever.
It's all there. It's just it's a snapshot.
Yeah.
In that moment in time.
Random date, time snapshots. Yeah. I was shocked by that.
It was horrifying. It was really scary.
Yeah, I was super like,
so that exists. So be aware, what you post at any given time can be pulled up at any given time by anybody.
That was terrifying.
So it's not private.
I rethought a lot of life decisions at that point.
That was a scary. I know. It was like, ugh. Okay, so anyways, kind of going back on track here. I was a little curious about, you know, what is the impact of screen media on kids, like from like 0 to 5?
Oh, yeah.
Like developmental wise, since there is such an increase in access and teens are obviously using it more. And so obviously kids are too.
Every parent, you know, you put the little whatever on for your kid at the restaurant to keep him occupied or at the store or in the car.
Yeah. And I've seen parents, like their kids acts up, they hand them an iPad. Like, that is the answer. So I looked up this article that is actually a combination of 24 publications of research. So it actually analyzes, here, I'll kind of show you a
meta-analysis, if you will.
It is a meta-analysis.
I love synthesis, the word meta. It's like a Transformers kind of word.
So the early years of childhood are critical, is a critical period for neural development in the brain. It's well known that screen media exposure has the potential to impact the health and development trajectories of young children. So screen media, the conclusions of the study overall was that screen media exposure in early childhood was found to adversely affect health and developmental outcomes. So specifically, so again, this is across 24 different studies. They pulled together what they found to be true across the board. So number one, obesity. The relationship between screen time and obesity in early childhood was examined across 5 studies. 3 of the studies found that excess in screen time above recommendations was associated with higher body mass index in young children.
Well, I guess that makes sense. You're not moving around or playing outside. You're just sitting there with your tablet.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So then up next, physical activity. So that's just body mass index. So now physical activity. That was in 6 studies, and their studies of 149 toddlers by Carson and Kuzik in 2017 found that toddlers who were female from ethnic minorities or lower socioeconomic statuses had significantly greater daily screen time and participated in significantly less physical activity. And then another study in 2017 by Cliff, in their study, investigated children's compliance with social media and physical activity guidelines, and they found that only 14.9% met the requirements for physical activity for what they recommend for a healthy child. So only 14.9% did. And overall, more screen time was associated with less outdoor physical activity.
And then, you know, the less that you're connected with nature, like, that's just bad for emotional well-being overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You need to get out there. Grounding. Yeah.
Sleep. So relationship between screen time and sleep in early childhood was examined by 2 studies. They found that screen time, specifically television exposure, was associated with reduced sleep duration. There was another study that found a significant association between increased touch screen exposure, those iPads, things like that, and reduce sleep duration and longer onset of sleep in children ages 6 to 36 months.
So is the sleep stuff related to, like, the blue light?
Possibly, yeah. But it says specifically touchscreen. So I'm wondering if that's, like, because to do touchscreen, you're using different parts of your brain. You're using more of the prefrontal problem-solving part of your brain, so you're not doing that natural wind down where your brain starts kind of shutting off. So I'm wondering if you're keeping
you're
it too active.
You're more interactive with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Or maybe like the magical computer energy / radiation is going in your fingers and into your body.
Probably. cognition. So screen time and cognition in early childhood was examined by 5 studies, and they found negative associations between cognition in young children. So evidence that supports that the cognitive benefits of specific TV programs and games is there. So specifically, educational programs and shows are helpful. However, it was also reiterated that the level of benefit depended on caregiver co-viewing and interaction with the child during this social or the media time. Mm-hmm. So they found unfavorable outcomes with delayed cognition in the study where there was more TV exposure between 15 and 35 months of age. And that was consistent across most of the school, like preschool age children. So if you're going to do that, being involved with the child, making it active was beneficial.
Like but a joint activity.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Language.
I forced my kid to watch the new BuzzFeed Unsolved with me every Friday. That's good. Sometimes I see that he watched it ahead of me, and then I get pissed.
I hate it when anybody watches
this. How dare you?
Cheater. Language. So language is actually, research-wise, for children is shown to be the biggest predictor of school-based outcomes. So for language and development, that will kind of show how well they'll do in school. So 7 studies looked at this. Children aged 24 to 30 months found language delays in children whose TV exposure exceeded the guidelines.
What are the guidelines?
I would have to pull that up. I can probably post that on the page, though.
Okay.
It's just kind of the standards for what they say children should have for screen
probably
time.
Probably a pretty small amount of time, I imagine.
Yeah.
Probably way less than they're all getting.
Yeah. Another study found that background TV exposure, so just in the background during during didactic play with caregivers, was adversely associated, so negatively associated with young children's language development.
And that probably happens a lot.
Because if you think about it, their brain can only process so much at one time.
Right.
So you're asking them to learn something while things are processing in the background. That's
right.
A lot for a child.
And having to tune out that mm-hmm. stuff, that takes a lot.
Yeah.
I probably did that when my kids were little.
Investigating the effect of
TV
content.
I'm sorry, children. It ruined your lives.
let's see. Well, okay. Increased TV exposure interfered with child caregiver interactions, resulting in fewer words spoken and reduced language acquisition in
young
children.
Well, yeah, you're not tuned into your kid if you're, like, watching a show,
yep,
that's for sure,
obviously.
Or on your phone or whatever it is.
And then executive functioning and socio-emotional development. So, they found that adverse outcomes for attention were reduced with restricted TV exposure, also with psychosocial and emotional well-being in young children was impacted. So really across the board.
It's bad, a bad deal.
Yeah. So, and it's not saying that it's all bad. It's saying, like, with moderation, and if you're going to use it, be interactive with your kid.
Like, because what about, like, the early learning kind of software stuff where they teach them how to read and all that? Is that...
So, I actually, part of what I read said that it actually has very little impact.
So, it's better to just sit down with them and read a goddamn book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you're going to do that with them, like, interact with the child while they do it.
Don't just, like, toss a tablet and...
Yeah, exactly.
Go out.
And be like, my kid's going to be a genius because they...
Right. Or that baby Einstein bullshit where mm-hmm. they're like... Just listen to some classical music and
so
your kid will be smart.
This kind of leads to whose fault is it? You know, kid or parent. Parents have a part to play in this. And if we think about attachment and children, that has to do with connection and learn with your child. Meeting their needs when their needs need to be met. And part of that is being able to, if they are learning from a situation, the parent responds to teach them. If the response is iPad or phone, that is also impacting attachment with the caregiver. It's not just they're not learning what they need to learn. It's also impacting their connection with people and learning how to attach to people.
So it's reinforcing that whole disconnect. What did you say earlier, the disconnect thing?
We're connecting through disconnection.
Yeah, it's reinforcing that.
Mm-hmm.
That was brilliant. I love that. Let's make bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers. So child development experts have different names for the dyadic signal system between adult and child. One pediatrician, Shonkoff, is his name, Jack Shonkoff. He's the director of Harvard's Center of Developing of the Developing Harvard. Child. Yeah. He calls it the serve and return style of communication.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I love this.
Yeah. So he said the vocal patterns of parents everywhere tend to adopt during exchanges with infants and toddlers. So you have a higher pitched tone. You become engaged. Like, oh, look at what you're doing.
Yeah.
So people naturally change how they speak to infants and toddlers. That is actually a healthy part of development.
Yeah, it's that mother ease.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, you're so cute.
Though this talk is cloying to adult observers, babies can't get enough of it. Not only that, one study shows that infants exposed to this interactive, emotionally responsive speech style at 11 months and 14 months knew twice as many words at the age of 2 as ones who weren't exposed to it. And again, language is the precursor for positive development in school.
And I talk to my dog that way, too.
He's probably the smartest dog. So you start to have problems arise when that connection...
Oh, good girl.
Good girl.
Good girl.
Yeah, so it's really... it's not just about what they're learning, what they're being exposed to, but also they're learning to attach to people. So I wanted to circle back really fast.
I love circling back.
To the bullying topic.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to play just a quick little audio clip.
This, you're going to make me feel bad about my disclosure that I was a bully.
Yeah.
I was bullied first.
Okay, here we go.
...has arrested two girls ages 12 and 14 on felony charges of aggravated stalking in a case of cyberbullying. A 12-year-old classmate jumped to her death a month ago, and Anna Werner has more.
Police say Rebecca Sedgwick was relentlessly tormented by two classmates for a year. The arrests were made after the 14-year-old suspect boasted on the internet about the bullying. Sheriff Grady Judd.
She made a comment in reference to, yeah, I bullied Rebecca, and yeah, she's dead, but I don't give a blank. We saw that and we thought, that's over the top.
The 14-year-old and her 12-year-old accomplice allegedly harassed Sedgwick at school, then followed her online. Taunts included, you should drink bleach and die, no one likes you, and you should go kill yourself. Sedgwick jumped off a tower near her home after writing friends, I am jumping, I can't take it anymore. We spoke to her mother, Tricia Norman, last month.
I want them to pay for it because they took my baby away. They took her confidence away. They took her self-worth away. And now she's gone from me.
The sheriff hasn't ruled out charging the suspect's parents.
If you can't supervise your child, if they don't behave, then take away their devices. Don't allow them to have Facebook.
So who do you blame more here, the girls or their parents?
I blame them both equally. This incident goes way back until 2012, back in November and December, with fights, with intimidating, with terrorizing Rebecca Sedgwick. So the defendant's parents knew she was bullying.
The two suspects are now under house arrest.
So just to give you a clue of, like, this can escalate quickly, because again, teens, this is their world. Every day is their world. So something like that can be taken.
They take it deeply personally. It's like, as an adult, you might look at something like that and think,
brush it off. Or,
yeah, you
brush
it off.
I got other things going
like,
for me.
Oh yeah, you'll be over it in a week or, you know, a couple days or whatever.
They really don't.
But they can't get out of that moment. And that's the part that I think is really important
and
to keep in mind when working with teens.
Yeah, their brain is still developing.
That
part
moment,
of their brain.
Yeah, everything is super real.
So, just to throw out a few things, nearly 43% of kids have been bullied online. 1 in 4 has said it's happened more than once. 70% of students report seeing frequent bullying online. Over 80% of teens use cell phone regularly, making it more common. 68% of teens agree that cyberbullying is a serious problem. 81% of young people think bullying online is easier to get away with than bullying in person.
Absolutely, that.
Yeah.
You're not going to get punched in the face.
No. Yeah, right? Like, say it again. 90% of teens who have been on social media, who have been on social media bullying, say they have seen it, said that they've ignored it. 84% have seen others tell cyberbullies to stop. Only 1 in 10 victims will inform a parent or trusted adult of their abuse. That's 1 in 10. That's really small.
What do you think? Shame?
I think shame and, like, there's, like, this underlying hope that it's just temporary. Like, I'm going to fit in. Like, eventually it's going to go away. Like,
or I think maybe some teams think, like, if they tell their parents, they'll make it worse because they're going to go make a big deal
and
about
sometimes
it
does
school.
Make it worse.
Yeah,
it I mean, I've seen it go worse.
Yeah, because if they take it to the school and it's not handled well, it can 100% make it worse.
However, a lot of, I mean, what I can say now is there's a lot of schools that have bullying, like, protocols in place to help protect students. So talk to somebody.
Absolutely talk to somebody.
About 58% of kids admit someone has said something mean or hurtful to them online. More than 4 out of 10 says it's happened more than once. And then girls are about twice as likely as boys to be victims and perpetrators of online bullying.
Mean girls.
Mean girls. And,
you know bullying? That broad, that musical is coming to Spokane?
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Exactly what I thought. Bullying victims are 2 to 9 times more likely to consider committing suicide. And then about 75% of students admit that they have visited a website bashing another student.
Well, I mean, their social world is everything. So if their social world turns on them, you're going to lose hope.
So I'm going to play, like, a little clip here. It's really short. But first, I'm just going to give... If you are...
I'm not clock watching, don't worry.
Okay, I'm wrapping up. If you are having suicidal...
I can't see the clock, so...
That's wonderful. If you are having suicidal thoughts, there's a national suicide hotline, 1-800-784-2433. For teens, there's a tech-savvy line. You text HELLO, H-E-L-L-O, to 741741.
Have you ever tried any of this?
I've texted one before.
What happens?
It was actually like someone just, like, it was like a person messaging me back just saying, hey, how's it going? And, like, it was really casual.
That's cool,
because,
like, I always give those resources out, but I never know, like, what that actually is like.
Yeah, so, all right. So this is my little end message to wrap up this little piece of our podcast today.
We are all brothers and sisters. I imagine that every person on Earth has been affected in some way by the destructive spirit of contention.
He's a Mormon priest.
Okay, that gave me a frame of reference.
Yep.
Thank you.
The spirit of envy and hatred has led to some of the most tragic stories in history. Perhaps there are even times when we recognize this spirit in ourselves. We are not perfect. The people around us are not perfect.
Jess, come on. Mom needs a car.
People do things that annoy, disappoint, and anger. Though we cannot look into another's heart, we assume that we know a bad motive or even a bad person when we see one. This topic of judging others could actually be taught in a 2-word sermon. When it comes to hating, gossiping, ignoring, ridiculing, holding grudges, or wanting to cause harm, please apply the following. Stop it.
So there's that.
Isn't that what, oh my god, that like old counseling show character?
Yeah, sorry, just stop it.
You just say, just stop. What was that guy's name?
That was
like a
comedian show.
I know.
It was a comedy.
I can't believe I couldn't think of it.
Yeah. So.
I used to like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stop it.
Just stop. Just stop doing it.
Just stop it. I love that.
That's the second time you've hit your head on the wall. Well,
you know what? I'm realizing the wall is way too close to the couch.
It is.
And also I'm realizing the wall is full of nothing, so it doesn't hurt my head.
And there's no really time to...
Or maybe my head is full of nothing, and that's why it doesn't hurt.
And time doesn't exist, so...
It's all relative.
It's fine.
And possibly warped.
And you may have a brain aneurysm now, but it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't. And I've also had a lot of concussions, so I don't even know what you just said.
Don't you get, like, 9? Is that, like, a cat? You get 9, then you're done. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We really appreciate all of our followers. And
all 20.
All 20 followers on Podbean. And
plus our new one international follower. That's super cool. Yes. I love the UK.
Woo. Till next time. Thanks.
We need a positive thing. Be nice to people and don't bully them. Because it's mean.
I would just say, you know, like, you never know who, like, if you don't have it within yourself to just be nice, because I know there's people out there that just can't find that part in themselves. Just think of, like, these people who could be beneficial in your life later. You never know where people are going to end up.
Or you don't know what people are going through. So, like, if somebody cuts you off and you honk at them or give them the bird, like, maybe, like, they're rushing to the hospital because a loved one is dying of cancer or something like that. Just, like, take that extra second to just be a little patient and nice.
And even if they aren't, you're still the winner because you're going to be calmer. It's not going to stress you out. You're not going to get the health problems associated with the stress that so many people have.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.